whatever. It's not as big a holiday as Christmas or any of that stuff. So it's fine with me, but I didn't know how the board felt about it.
Go with it.
You're okay.
Is that the week usually school's out afterwards, or do they center?
It depends. It depends.
You would think I would know, but I can't remember.
Yeah, I know. It depends on.
Yeah, that's true.
Spring break. I'm not sure when it is, but none of us have kids. Sitting here, I'm just looking at us. I mean, for us to meet.
I'm okay with it.
You're okay. You're okay.
Okay.
Everyone's okay.
I won't be back.
Okay.
I'm on a cruise, so I won't be back by then. But that's okay.
But that's okay. We have
majority.
Enough.
Yeah,
we have the majority. That's fine then. Thank you. Thank you, Stephanie. Yes. Stop.
Yeah.
Okay, so that works out. Okay. Thank you very much.
So no other conflicting dates for board members. It all looks good for the rest of the year.
It all looks good, right? All the dates there.
Thank you.
I love the 10 o'clock time. Thank you all for that one, too. And now to the most exciting part. Sorry, Ryan. We're not looking forward to this, but go right ahead.
Did anybody bring popcorn?
Yeah, did you bring popcorn or anything for us? Or
okay, so good afternoon. My name is Ryan Knight. You have a packet filled with Sunshine Law and Public Records information. Has everybody here been through the training?
No, that's
okay. So this will be a refresher for you all, and this will be some new information for you. As I go through this, anytime if you have a question, feel free to let me know, and I'll be happy to address it. So as a member of the board here, you are now have a legal obligation to comply with Sunshine Law, Florida's Public Records Law, and Florida's Code of Ethics. In a nutshell, what is Sunshine Law? Well, essentially it allows the public to participate in discussions and prevents closed-door meetings and closed-door decision-making by boards. Public records law creates a right of access to records made or received in conjunction with the official business of this board or a public body. So what's a meeting under Sunshine Law? Well, since you all are now on the board, any meeting, any formal or casual discussions about a matter which could or foreseeably come before the board is a meeting if you are discussing it with another board member. So that discussion can be over the phone, it can be via email, it can be via text message. Especially nowadays, it's real easy if you get a text from a board member that says, hey, how do you think we should vote on this coming up at the next meeting? Under Florida's Sunshine Law, if you were to respond to that and say, I think we should vote yes on that, that's a meeting, and that's something that would be outlawed, or it would be illegal under Florida's Sunshine Law. So sometimes it's stuff you don't normally think of. It's like I said, it's easy if you get a text just to respond right away. But now, since you all are on the board, I want you to start thinking as board members instead of private citizens. So the emails that you receive, the texts that you receive, ask yourself, okay, who is this coming from, and is it a matter that could foreseeably come before the board or is already in front of the board? Especially nowadays with cell phones that everybody has, even if you are just talking with another board member about something else, there's always somebody in the public who's going to say, look, they're talking about this, or they're talking about a matter that's going to come before the board. So just be conscious of that. Sunshine Law does not prevent you from interacting with other board members, but you know, sometimes the public perception is if they see three or four board members eating breakfast or something like that, oh, they have to be discussing something before the board. So just be conscious of that. Another aspect to remember is group emails. So if you receive an email from another board member soliciting input or something like that that could come before the board, the best thing to do is to not respond to that. You can send emails to the other board members for informational purposes. My suggestion would be to blind copy the other board members, and then that way that prevents somebody from hitting the reply all button, and then essentially creating a public meeting for that. In other boards that we've had members that have used Gmail, AOL, Hotmail, sort of their private accounts to interact, and that is fine. However, you have to remember that since those are private email accounts, you are the custodian of records for that. So what that means is if you send an email to somebody who's asking a question about something before the board, a member of the public, and you respond to that email, well, you just created a public record. And since it's through your personal email account or even through a text, that means you are the custodian of the record. And that means that if somebody were to come in and say, we have a public records request, we want all the emails from Commissioner or from Ms. Vanderbeek regarding this issue, then the town clerk would have to contact you in order to get that information, since it's under your private account or on your cell phone. Yes?
We're just talking about amongst us. Like if a resident sent you an email and mm-hmm. asked you a question.
Yep.
Is that okay?
You could, yes. Yes, you can absolutely respond to them. Okay. The only there's just one caveat, and that's if you know that they are being used to essentially convey information to another board member. Mm-hmm. So if somebody, you know, a private resident were to say, hey, I think you should vote yes on this, and you say, yes, I will be voting yes on this, knowing that they're going to the other board members and saying, Ms. Keyes is voting yes on this, I think you should too. So that's sort of the one caveat.
Oh, I have a question.
Yes.
What if I say I have some brainstorming about this meeting today, mm-hmm. and I wanted to ask a question. Can I email Ms. Alex and ask her, I thought more about this, what do you think about that?
Certainly. Certainly. So if you have questions for staff members or anything like that, or you would like additional information, then you are free to reach out to them via email, phone call, however you would like to. Okay. But, you know, sort of for the mindset now is if another board member sends you an email, then that should click in your head. Okay, is this about, is this about official business? Is this about something that could come before the board? And are they essentially soliciting my opinion on what we're going to be discussing at the public meeting?
But us talking to board members.
Us talking to town member, employees, staff is okay.
Yes, absolutely.
By ourselves.
No, yes. So we encourage you to speak with staff, get additional information. Yes.
We
not
can't
as
go in together.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Yes.
Thanks.
And then sort of going back to the public document, and if you respond using your private email or private text, the town also does have a social media policy. That's also in the packet, and that was from 2020. And I'm going to go through that briefly because that lays out the procedures for if you are the custodian of a public record or a public document, then what steps you need to do. So if the clerk did get a public records request, what she would normally do is reach out to you and say, we got a public records request for your emails, either from a certain time period or pertaining in a certain issue. And then what you would need to do is acknowledge that, yes, I have seen this. I will work on gathering this information, work on gathering the public documents. And if you don't, as the custodian of that, you could be charged with a crime or fined or both. So there's been instances where people have just refused to acknowledge a public records request, not turned over the documents, and that's never a good thing because they could end up in jail. So if you have any questions at all, if you get a public records request, feel free to reach out to someone at our firm, and we'll be happy to guide you through that process. While we're on the policy, want to go over social media, Facebook, Twitter, well, it used to be Twitter. If you are posting, you need to be very careful, because if you're posting about something that's coming before the board, essentially what you're doing is you're opening up your comment section to anybody that wants to comment. If you don't, or if you block people, certain people whose opinions you may not like, then you're talking about First Amendment restrictions. So just be conscious as a board member. What you post, you either can shut off the comments and prevent them from, or prevent anybody from responding to it, or you have to essentially let everybody comment on it. Yes?
So if you posted something and said the board, we're having the meeting and they're going to be talking about budget items, if there's anybody that has anything they want to talk about to come, is that, you shouldn't do that?
No, you can. All I'm saying is that if you do that, then if you have a comment section, you can't restrict who's making a comment on that.
Right, oh.
So as long as you're fine with people being able to say whatever they want to, which is sort of the case nowadays anyway,
okay.
But the only time you'd run into a problem is if somebody said, oh, you guys are doing a great job, and then someone else said, no, you're not doing a good job, and then you blocked that person or deleted their comment.
Oh, okay. I got you.
So that's really where I was going with that. So if you post something, you either have all the comments allowed or none of the comments allowed. And that's also addressed in the town's policy here. Section E of the town's policy, that's important because it provides that if you do make a statement regarding public business using social media, including replying to another user's post, then the board member should immediately create a copy of the statement and provide a copy to the town clerk.
Okay, so once again, because I did this, I let the pickleball players know that if they had, because they're always wanting things, that we're going to be discussing it. So I said, you know, if there's anything you want, come to the meeting. Should have made a copy and told the town that?
That would be the best practice, yes, if you're making something like
that.
That.
I was just, you know,
It doesn't say you have to do it immediately. Well, it does say immediately, but, you know, the time frame on that, if you don't do it within a day, if you do it within a week, as long as you still retain the record and don't delete it.
So I can go home and take a screenshot.
Absolutely.
And send it to Jackie, or is that who I would send it to?
Absolutely, yes. I believe so, right?
So that'd be Stephanie.
Yeah.
Hi, Steph.
Okay.
So the clerk.
Okay, I would do that. Thank you.
And that way it just prevents issues, because sometimes we might get a public records request a year later. And
I just wanted them to know, you know.
Yep. So welcome to Florida's public records law.
I know. Okay. I will do that.
Okay, so yeah, I would encourage you just to review that policy so you're aware of it. And just sort of going back to Sunshine Law, the statutes provide the penalties for that. You know, the criminal penalty could be a second-degree misdemeanor for knowingly violating the Sunshine Law. So if you are knowingly meeting with somebody on the board talking about how you're going to vote, then you're probably looking at a criminal charge, which carries a fine up to $500 and or 60 days in jail. And there was a suspended Escambia County commissioner who was sentenced to 60 days in jail for discussing redistricting in a telephone conversation while another commissioner listened on a speakerphone. So there are instances of that. Like I said, if you ever have any questions at all, feel free to reach out and let us know. Going back to the public records, the wording of it is all documents, papers, letters, maps, books, tapes, photographs, films, sound recordings, data processing software, or other material, regardless of physical form or means of transmission, made or received pursuant to law in connection with the transaction of official business by the agency. So that other material is essentially text messages, emails. So all of that is still a public record, even though it's not a tangible document. Um, Want to briefly go over Florida Code of Ethics. So that is also included in your packet as an overview for the Code of Ethics. It prevents the soliciting and accepting of gifts, accepting unauthorized compensation, misusing his or her public position as a member of the board, disclosing or using certain information, doing business with their agency, and engaging in conflicting employment or contractual relationships. I don't anticipate those being any issues with this board, just knowing how you operate. But the one thing I do want to point out is the voting conflicts of interest. So as members of the board, you're expected to vote on every issue unless there is a conflict. A normal conflict that would arise would say you own a lawn maintenance company and there's a contract or, you know, some kind of grant in front of the board to give money to that agency, well, or to that lawn care company. In that case, that person would have a voting conflict of interest. They would have to announce that on the record, say, I have a conflict of interest, this is why, and then what you would have to do is fill out Form 8B, which is at the very end of the packet there. So anytime you are not voting on any issue, you will have to fill this out. This is filed, so it's a public record. It just states essentially why you have the conflict and the nature of the conflict. And if you look at the second page, it essentially lists which conflict you have, and you would just check that off. Mm-hmm. So if you would review that, you'll know if an issue comes up, if you have any of these conflicts. This is the procedure that you would have to follow in order to not vote. Does anybody have any questions? Okay, there are a few other PowerPoints that are included in there. I did a sort of a 50,000 foot overview, but we'd be here all day if I had to talk about public records and sunshine law. So I would encourage you just to review what is provided in there. I'm just going to hit on just a few other key points here. And the definition of the public record, it's any material prepared in connection with official agency business which is intended to perpetuate, communicate, or formalize knowledge of some type. So the public records law and sunshine law is very broad. It's construed as broadly as possible. So if there is any hint of an issue or any kind of knowledge that you would supply to the board, it's going to be a public record. There was one case where two city employees were using their laptop computers and they were sending emails. I don't know how good or clean the emails were, but they were using the city's computers. I think there's also some allegations that some alcohol might have been involved. So what do you know? A year later, they get a public records request from a, I believe it was a newspaper. So they requested all of the emails that are on that computer. Well, some were pretty embarrassing, mm-hmm. to say the least. But the court did make a distinction. They said even though it was on the city's computer, that there is a distinction between personal and private email. So don't feel like you have no privacy now that you're a board member. If you are sending emails, the public's not entitled to carte blanche to review everything that you send. If it's a private matter, then it's not going to be a public record. So if you're sending in...
Mm-hmm.
Yes, so that would be a meeting under Florida Sunshine Law. a meeting between two board members to discuss something that could foreseeably come before the board, because that's something that could foreseeably come before the board at a later time.
That's why I suggested you have it in front of everybody, so we don't have to discuss it again.
Yes. So I guess a way to think about it is, anytime you want to discuss business that could come before this board, do it in here with another board member. That's the safest way. There's also some information here on Robert's Rules of Orders. That Robert's Rules of Order, that book's about 750 pages. Mm-hmm. I've seen you and how you conduct the meeting, so you know what you're doing.
Is it okay? Because it's very loose.
You know what you're doing.
Okay.
So I will not go through every provision of Robert's Rules of Order, but really the main thing is, and you guys all do a good job of it, is speak one at a time. It helps the clerk or whoever's transcribing it afterwards to create the minutes. So believe it or not, I have some boards where four people are talking at one time. Oh. So it makes it a lot easier for the clerk if you don't do that. And there is just one picture that was in the packet that I just wanted to point it out to. It was a slideshow that said, "What's going on here?" And there's people huddling up, talking together, and has a really good caption. And that's the fact that we don't know is the point. So keep that in mind if you're out in public and there's three or four of you together. Like I said, there's usually always going to be somebody saying, "I know what they're doing over there. They're talking about this." And 99 times out of 100, it's not the case,
right.
But that's just the public perception. Other than that, if anybody has any questions, I'll be happy to answer them. If not, if you do have questions after the meeting, feel free to reach out, and I will be happy to answer them. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You made that painless. Thank you.
Yeah, it was good.
Yes, it was very good. Public participation. They all left. Okay, so I guess not. Then any discussion from the board? Anyone on the board would like to say something? Seeing none, then we will adjourn the meeting. It's 11:22. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.